Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, would you by your Spirit meet with each one of us and draw us near to your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. I've noticed in recent weeks that our current circumstances have been described in various ways. Certain phrases have been used. These are apocalyptic times, some have joked. It's a crisis of biblical proportions. Could this be the end of days? There's a real sense that we are in a global struggle, not something experienced by one community or another, one nation or another, but by and large, the whole planet. And it does feel, rightly or wrongly, all a little bit biblical. And if you are wondering whether there's validity in describing the present as apocalyptic, feel free to give me a call. I would be happy to have a chat about that one. And I think part of the reason that it feels so biblical is that we are not accustomed to this. We are not used to this kind of suffering that is so incredibly widespread. Everyone has been affected in one way or another. You might have found homeschooling your children to press on every nerve you knew you had, and maybe some you didn't. You might have found that there are deep conflicts in your marriage that have been sitting beneath the surface for too long and are now coming up. You might have gone from having a successful new business to struggling to just keep afloat. You may have had to lay people off. You might have been laid off. You may be really tired of the loneliness and isolation. You might have got sick. You might have caught the virus. You might not have, but you're sick with something else and a little anxious about going to the hospital or a medical center. For those with mental health issues, you might have found everything to be that much more intense and that much more a struggle. Things you normally know how to manage suddenly seem to be out of control. You may have just found yourself to be far more reactive to the things that wouldn't normally rile you. I know I have. Usually the majority of us are pretty adept at keeping suffering and pain at arm's length. We can find a solution, or at least avoid the problem or pretend it isn't there. But we're stuck at home with fewer distractions and more stresses, and we are not used to this. What I find interesting is that suffering of some kind is in every single book of the Bible. It's there in every story, every letter, everywhere. God himself is not always mentioned. He never makes an appearance in the book of Esther. But suffering is always present. Brokenness, pain, or hardship is always part of the story. Think of Moses and the Israelites enslaved in Egypt, the struggles through the wilderness, the kings of Israel who acted badly, even the kings of Israel that were generally good, the captivity of God's people and exile into Babylon, the need for sacrifices to atone for sin, Job's devastating losses, Ruth's widowhood as a young bride. You have widespread sufferings like the plagues, the wars, the famines and disasters that devastated the whole community. You have personal, individual stories of struggle and resistance, rejection and persecution. It's everywhere, Old Testament and New. And if you're into stories and literature, you'll know that suffering is kind of necessary in any story. Without a conflict, you have no drama. Think of any great novel, movie, or play, and you will find within it suffering, hardship, and struggle. Suffering is part of the story. Now, obviously, we don't like it. It goes with the definition of suffering. It hurts. It creates pain and loss. But I think another reason that why we dislike it so much is not just that it brings grief, but that it exposes something about us. If you take any bottle of liquid and you squeeze it hard enough, you will find out what's inside. When stress and struggle is put on us, our facades are put to the test, and eventually they break down. Eventually, the truth comes out. The stress reveals our character. It pulls back the charade of who we think we are and who we pretend to be. The crisis reveals our character. And the great question, the question for all of us more loudly now than at other times, is what do we do with that exposure? What do we do when we've yelled at our children more than we really want to admit? When we've overreacted to a colleague after an email that pressed our buttons? When we've seen the bottom of yet another bottle of wine and know something isn't right within? When we've been the one hoarding paper goods? When we've self-justified too many trips out as essential just because we want to get away from our loved ones? In John's Gospel, as we remember on Maundy Thursday, Jesus gets up from the table. He assumes the role of a servant, someone less than and with few rights of their own. He takes off his outer garment. He picks up a towel. He kneels down. And he starts washing the foul, dirt-encrusted, hardened, blackened feet of his disciples, worn and tired from walking in the dusty, dirty streets of the ancient Middle East. Peter's initial response is one of indignance. This is not okay, Jesus. He pushes Jesus away and doesn't want to let him close. Peter knows the nature of his own soiled feet. He knows this is not what should happen. God made man should not be tending to the scum on Peter's own soles, but Peter should be stepping up and doing something. He should be washing Jesus' feet, if anything. When Jesus indicates that this washing is a sign of something to come, what Jesus did for us on the cross, Peter still insists, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus' response, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Peter then does an amazing flip-flop. He changes tack and he replies, now asking for his hands and his head to be washed also. If he's going to have his feet washed, why not do all of him? He wants all of what Jesus has to offer. But it's only his feet that need the cleaning, Jesus reiterates. Peter has already been bathed. In the grand scheme of things, your pain and suffering might not be that serious. Your neighbor may be struggling with harder things. People around the world throughout history have lived with fear of violence, of sickness, of starvation. For as long as we've inhabited the earth, that is true. Russ reminded us on Sunday the importance of a healthy perspective and being grateful for all that we do have, even in times of difficulty. Yet with that, we are still faced with the question, what will we do with what our suffering exposes about ourselves? What do we do with a big reveal of the dirt not on our feet, but in our hearts? We let ourselves be washed. We let Jesus come in. We stop trying to fight our darker impulses as if somehow we could control or change them by ourselves. And we admit where we have built up dirt, grime, and grease in our own souls. We acknowledge our need of the cross and a hope that changes us from the inside out. Yes, we have been washed in baptism and made new as part of God's kingdom. Yes, Jesus is God in human form, and he should not be having to stoop down and to deal with our messes. Yes, we wish we could be different. But, my friends, this is reality. Jesus presents us with the invitation, will you be washed? We have learned so many new things recently about the method and means of washing our hands. But what if we paid that much attention to the Jesus who wants to wash our feet? What if we paid that much attention to just how unclean we have become from that which is not from outside us, but from within us? What if we faced it honestly, humbly, openly? What if we risked believing that Jesus wanted to deal with our darkness? It is Maundy Thursday, and our service tonight concludes with the stripping of the altar. It will be before us, exposed. In a similar way, you might be aware of just how much you feel stripped back. You might have had your heart exposed in various ways, only to discover you're not sure you like what you found beneath. You might be full of shame, but you actually need help, even more help than you thought you'd need. You might be heart heavy that here you are again with the same old struggles, wondering if they could ever change. You may be hanging on by a thread with a difficult home life and secrets that you don't even know how to start sharing. But it's when we're stripped back that we are finally ready to see what is good about Good Friday. In the honesty and vulnerability of our exposure, if we risk it, we can come to know all that Christ has made available for us. We could fight to retain our proud ideas about who we think we are. We could struggle to hold on to the pretense. Or we can say yes to the depths of God's kindness. Will you allow Jesus to wash your feet and so share in all that he offers? Will you allow him to tend to your brokenness, relieve the weight of your guilt, and release you from shame? Will you be washed?